Let's ask the Lord to bless the word to our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the word of God, which is so powerful and causes us, Lord, to feel the presence of the Lord and causes us to desire to be like you, Father, and take on what the scripture tells us. And I'm believing you now that you're just going to bless this lesson to our hearts, Father God. Hallelujah. Now, the thing is, as you can already tell, we can't cover a whole chapter at one time because we just don't have the time that we take here in the meeting. But as we go back to the book of Ephesians, and we're going to go to chapter 2, we're just going to read the latter part of chapter 2, Lord willing, if he gives us that much time. And remember that I told you when we were starting to study this book was written by Apostle Paul when he was in prison. He was imprisoned and he was beheaded for Christ. That's what took place in his life. But as he was there in that place, he didn't just waste his time. He was writing letters to people that he had preached to, like the Ephesian people up there now in what Turkey is right now. But, you know, there that is where he was ministering in so many different churches there that came in to know the real word of God. And so in this chapter 2, we started out, of course, that you hath he quickened. That means he made us alive. And we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And I ask you, when you're at home and everything, it'd be a good idea just to go back and just read this first part of this book again. And then next week we'll cover what we can, okay? So we're going to go down to verse 8 of chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians. And this is a beautiful verse. We had it last time, but I just felt led to go start it with us this time. Now it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God." Praise the Lord. The word grace means unmerited favor. In other words, we don't deserve anything. We don't deserve anything from God. He is the one that gives us with his love. He gives us salvation. And so that's what that means. For by grace, by this unmerited favor, we didn't deserve it. Are you saved through faith? It's faith. It's not by works. And the Bible is very clear on that. The Jews tried to keep up on works, but it didn't work, did it? And that not of yourselves. The faith does not come from ourselves. It plainly teaches us in another place. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so as we read the word of God and we count that God's word is faithful, it is true, then we're going to lay hold of the things of God. Notice it says it is the gift of God. God doesn't give us a gift and then say, "You have to pay me for it." That's not what he does. He gives us a divine gift of salvation into our life. And of course, we will be blessed with great blessings from God if we really yield our lives to God and walk with God and let him. Notice it says in verse 9, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." And that's exactly what happens when people think that they're saved by works. They begin to boast that they have done so and so. They've been good. God is going to have to help them because I'm good. I've heard people say those kind of things. Praise the Lord. But praise the Lord, it isn't by works that we have done. The scripture says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It is the gift of God. Oh, glory to God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? So going on now, this is the verses that we need to go ahead and get to. Beginning in verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Praise the Lord. So God is working on us. He's working on us, each one, to change us into his likeness, into what he's like. Jesus wants us to be like him. And we can't do that in our own selves. There's no power in us that will make us change and be that person that he wants us to be. But praise the Lord, it's an in-working thing. God works in us. He works in our thoughts and in our minds and our hearts, and he changes us. So he's working on us. We are a product of his that he is working on. Hallelujah. He created us in Christ Jesus. He's given us a new birth. We are born again. We have a new life. And notice that this workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. As we walk in the Spirit and we yield our body to the Lord, we're going to have good works. We will think of other people. We will want to help other people. We will want to pray for other people that are in need. We will give ourselves for the help of other people if we really love Jesus like he wants us to love him. Hallelujah. And these good works, notice what it says, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. This is what God has done for all believers in Christ. He has ordained that we will become those people that will yield to God and walk in good works and do what he has asked us to do. Walking in them, that speaks of a daily walking with God. There are many other scriptures in the Bible that talk about walking with God. And that's what exactly he wants us to do, is to really walk with him in his workmanship. Notice that, a product or poem that he does. He works it in us. It's not that I get up in the morning and say, well, I'm going to be really kind today. I'm going to be really nice today. That doesn't work because we have an old nature. But as we follow up and follow the workmanship of Christ and God in us and all of these good works that he works in us, then it's going to be all right. Verse 11 says, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that in that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. So that both of these verses are very, very important to us. We have to remember that I don't think there are any Jewish people here in this meeting today, but praise the Lord, we're considered Gentile people. That's everything but Jews, okay? And, of course, Apostle Paul was a Jew, wasn't he? He got born again, and he came and he started preaching the Word of God. Our Lord Jesus was a Jew, though he was the Son of God. Many others, Peter, that was such a blessing in the Jesus and one of his disciples and all the other disciples, the Jewish people. But we are Gentiles. We are the other sort of people. And we don't claim the Jews' part of religion because that's their part. And not all of them walked with God, did they? Many of them failed God greatly. And so, as it says here, that at that time you were without Christ. Before we knew the Lord, we were without Christ. And all of us know that, don't we? And we not only were without Christ, but we were aliens. You like to think about yourself as being an alien? An alien in our way of thinking is somebody that comes over here from a foreign country and doesn't belong here, and a lot of them are in the United States right now, aren't they? And they don't follow the rules of the land and so forth. A lot of them are not doing that they should. So we were aliens in this world. That means we were without Christ. We didn't have salvation. We didn't have anybody except just being an alien, a worldly person that wasn't saved. But praise the Lord, that was in that time that we were without Christ. And from the commonwealth of Israel, that word commonwealth, you know, there are interesting words in the Bible if you look it up and try to find out what it really means. You know, we think of a commonwealth, I think the country of England is a commonwealth, they call it. Well, what does it mean to us? This word actually in the Greek means citizenship. Citizenship. Now notice, from the citizenship, we were aliens from the citizenship of Israel. We didn't have any place with them. We didn't have any temple to worship. We didn't, or to worship God. We didn't have those kind of things, those rules. But it says, but and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. Did you realize that if you read in the Old Testament, you find out that Israel was given many, many promises and blessings with God? It's a marvelous thing. And yet they didn't follow God. They would, God promised them a certain thing and arrangements. He was going to work in there and for them and keep them and so forth. And I've been teaching the book of, what is my book that I'm teaching? Nehemiah. Nehemiah. That's one of them I've been teaching. And that was when the children of Israel, you all, got taken over to a foreign land, out of their land. Clear over there, we have the book of Daniel that's about the same thing. And then they get to go back to their land. Oh, my goodness. They had missed out on so many of the covenants that were made with Israel. And we have covenants made with us, too. The Word of God says that certain things are ours in Christ. It's like God made a covenant with us. He's told us that if we know Him as our Savior, that we're going to be in heaven. If we walk with the Lord and we're yielding to God, that there are going to be great rewards in heaven for those who do that. And so it's like a covenant of promise. And as they had no hope without God in this world, the people that are in the world today that don't know Jesus, they don't have any hope. That's why there's so much evil that's going on right now in this world. So going on now into verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And he's still talking about the Gentiles. The Gentile people were not greeted at the temple. They didn't want them in there because they were not Jews. They were Gentiles. They were segregated and forced away. And yet when Jesus came, he went to some Gentiles. It's wonderful how he sought after those that were hungry. And of course, our time now, that our salvation, it doesn't matter. Paul says, neither Jew nor Gentile. So we don't have to be one or the other to receive the things of the Lord. But most of us, I think, here are Gentiles, as far as that would be concerned. But I'm glad that we have Christ and all of the blessings and things that there are. Hallelujah. So at that time, we were without Christ. We were aliens. We were without him, no salvation from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. What a beautiful verse that is. I love that. Praise the Lord. Let's go on to verse 14. For he, why are we experiencing that verse 13? We were far off, but now we are nigh him because of the blood of Christ. Notice this verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. When he says God has made us both one, he's talking about Jews and Gentiles. See, the Jews had their religious way that they went, right? They did all this stuff that they did. And there's still some of them that do it. But now, because of what Jesus Christ has done, and he is our peace on the cross, he died for us. He sacrificed his life, and his blood was poured out to wash away all of our sins. He has made both Jew and Gentile groups one. The only way to come to the Lord Jesus Christ is through faith in the blood of Christ, not any other religion thing. You know, like some people say, well, I have to do so-and-so or I can't be saved. To be saved it is beautiful to just receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and realize He is our peace. There's that song that we sing often, "For He is our peace." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Going on. Now notice it says, He's broken down that middle wall of partition between us. There was a partition there between the Gentiles and the Jews. And even today, the Jews don't really think that Gentiles are saved or anything, because we don't believe their own religion. But that doesn't change the whole situation that we have. So verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So what happened? Jesus Christ came and he died on that cross. In his flesh, he was carrying the burden of the whole world, all of the sin that will ever be committed, even up into this present time. Jesus bore that, his own self. But having abolished, it was abolished. Praise the Lord. It was abolished. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Abolished in his flesh. This means it was rendered. It was rendered idle and ceased. The things that were against God, there was no salvation without Christ. And because Christ died for us in his flesh, he abolished that enmity, that hostility, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Oh, praise the Lord for that. God is so good. This enmity, this word enmity here means hostility and hatred. That's what the Lord Jesus dying on that cross did for us. He abolished all of the bad feelings toward those who would not trust God, who would not believe in God, because as they received Christ, they were accepted. The Bible says in one place, we are accepted in the Beloved. Who is the Beloved? Jesus Christ. We're accepted in Jesus Christ. That's why that's so important. Romans 6:14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you're under grace." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Notice there in that verse 15, the very last phrase, "so making peace." What made peace? Was it because one day we told God, "I'm going to change. I'm going to do everything good now, and so that's going to change everything, God"? No, because that won't work. That does not work in the human flesh. It doesn't work. But praise the Lord, when we give our life to Christ and we realize what he did for us, hallelujah, he makes in himself of twain one new man, of the Jews and the Gentiles. All that will believe can have this salvation. This is something given to them by the Lord Jesus Christ through his death. Praise the Lord. I want you to hold your place here, and I want you to turn to Colossians, just right over here, after Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. And we're going to look at chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 20 through 22. Now, this is talking right here about the same thing we're talking about. Jesus Christ prepared the way for us to have peace in our lives, for us to have come to the Lord God, our Father, and be blessed. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Beginning with verse 20. "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself." He made the peace by himself. He gave his life for us. He did not give up. He didn't say, "Oh, I can't stand this. I'm not going to do this." He was fully yielded to God, and he fully did that for us through his blood on the cross. He made the peace between God and man. Praise the Lord. By him to reconcile all things. By him to reconcile all things. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. There need to be a reconciliation, and everybody here knows that. We know what that means. There need to be a change. There need to be people that would turn to God and admit their sin and ask the Lord to deliver them and help them to be saved. And that's exactly what happened through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And as he says, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, you now hath he reconciled. Hallelujah. He reconciled us. I hope all of us understand that word. He reconciled us. Hallelujah. He is the one that forgave us our sins. His blood washed away the sins that we had when we received it. And now God has forgiven us, and we have, praise the Lord, a new life. Isn't that beautiful? Go back to chapter 2 of Ephesians. We're going to go back there again now, and we're going to look at verse 16. Verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof. Hallelujah. The word enmity there means hostility. And so what was going on between God and the people of the world that didn't believe in God and were far from God was the hatred of God, the not obeying what God said. But praise the Lord, he reconciled us. He brought us together. He made us his children. He gave us the peace of knowing Christ in our lives. Hallelujah. And so, one new man, that he might reconcile us unto God in one body, not any longer recognizing Jews and Gentiles. We got to serve them. We got to do what they say, you know, in this one. They are all one in Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, the scripture says. There is neither bond nor free, but we are all one in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Praise the name of Jesus. So going on now, hallelujah. Verse 17, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. Jesus Christ came to this earth and preached truth to the word of God. Peace. He preached peace. Those which were far off, the Gentiles, and to them that were nigh, which were the Jews. Praise the Lord. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We both Jews and Gentiles, we have access to the Father. That word means admittance. He doesn't turn us away. We're his children. It doesn't matter what we are, a Jew or a Gentile or whatever. I'm partly Indian. That doesn't mean anything to God. We're his children. He loves us. And so, I praise the Lord for that. He came and preached this peace to us that were far off. Verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. That Spirit is the Holy Spirit. I hope everyone here realizes that when you received the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit was dealing with you. He was the one dealing with you to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And so the job of the Holy Spirit goes on and on and on and on in our lives. Later, as we learn about the Holy Spirit and we are filled with the Holy Spirit that the Lord tells us about in the Bible, as we allow that to happen, then the Holy Spirit is teaching us and he's helping us to get through life. The Holy Spirit has a great, great job to do. Okay, going on. So, verse 18, through him we both, the Jews and Gentiles, have this access. Verse 19, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have fellowship. We have citizenship. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. In Paul's day when he wrote this, it was different, a lot different than we are. You know, he was a Jew, and he knew the law well, and he was going about to kill the Christians and get them into jail and all of that stuff that he was doing. When God rounded him around and said, no, this is not the way, you're going to have to accept, and he knocked him off that horse or whatever he's on, knocked him off on the road to Damascus, and Paul was convinced, I was born again and received as the apostle. Notice in this word, this one verse of 20, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now, isn't that something? We can't just say, well, I don't really believe that they taught, but you know, I think that it's this way. We have something that we're built upon, and that is this word of God. And in this word of God are many apostles and prophets that have brought forth the messages that God wanted them to have so that we could learn what is right in the scripture. And so that's why it's so important for us to be into the word. Take some time every day to read the word of God and don't go so fast, you know. Just get there in a portion and say, I don't understand this, Lord. Tell me what this means right here. And you know what? He will. That's how we all learned. We learn by calling upon the Lord. Hallelujah. We are built upon a foundation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ and his power that he redeemed us from all of our sins. This is the basis of the apostles and the prophets, is this foundation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ as the chief. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I wanted to read next verse, verse 21. In whom all the buildings fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. Hallelujah. And I want to read verse 6 of chapter 3. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now, Apostle Paul is saying, in whom all of the building, the Jews and the Gentiles, have all been framed together. And that word there means to be built closely as brick in the wall. Isn't that interesting? If you are framed together with somebody, you're a part of them. And that's what Paul's saying. If you're a Jew or a Gentile, whoever you are, the salvation that is in Christ Jesus is the same for all people, everyone. Praise the Lord. And it's built closely like a brick in a wall. When you're put into this body of Christ, there's no getting out. You are in Christ. You are part of the wall. You've been given salvation. And Jesus said, I have to quote it again, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That's Paul. Okay, so let me think of the other one. The one at 3:16. Say it for me. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe the word? Believe that. Believe that. That's what he says here. We're going to grow together. We're going to grow up in Christ in one body. Praise the Lord. Unto a holy temple in the Lord. That's what it's all about. He wants us united. He wants us friends of one another, fellowships with one another, loving Jesus with all of our heart and our mind. That is so important. Hallelujah. And you'll never, never regret it. You'll never regret it. How precious the Lord Jesus is. Let's read verse 22. in whom you also are builded together for habitation of God through the Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. A habitation of God. It means a dwelling place. A dwelling place of God. The Lord dwells in you. You know Jesus Christ is your Savior. He dwells in you. You have a Heavenly Father. And you have eternal salvation in Jesus' own words we just quoted. We have eternal salvation. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing. The habitation of God, the dwelling place. We're determined. I live over there in a little house, okay? Not too little of a house, a bigger house. Anyway, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about living in heaven. Our place is certain. We're going to heaven one of these days. We know the Lord is our Savior. We're going to go up there. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we have been builded together as a habitation of God. Habitation of God. God is in us. He is right here in us. I wrote in my Bible here that this word habitation means to be knit together. And so just think what the place is with God. The Lord is in us. Jesus is in us. God is our Father. The Holy Spirit is with us. All of these beautiful things. He's dwelling right in us through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. In Romans 12:5, it says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. We're all part of the body. If you go to some churches, they will wait for you to join the church because that's the way they want. You know, they want to have everything real organized and all this. We don't believe that. This is not part of our doctrine here. We know that if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are part of the body of Christ. You are part of the church of God. You are a child of God. We don't have church membership. Don't be upset because we accept you. If you know Jesus Christ, praise the Lord. We love you. We want to be a part with you. We want to be right here with you all the time. And so as Paul says, in whom we are also builded together for an habitation of God, a place where God can live right here in us. Isn't that beautiful? It is. Hallelujah. And that's all through the Holy Spirit. It's a capital S there, through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings into our life Jesus Christ for us to be born again. And throughout our Christian life, that Holy Spirit is going to be there leading our life and showing us the way and helping us to understand the Word of God. That's why we believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit. And we praise the Lord for the goodness of God. Hallelujah. That's as far as we're going to go today because there's a lot more. So next week, Lord willing, we will teach on the third chapter of Ephesians.